Hi there. I'm Mary Hartman, Director of Education at Bard on the Beach, and this is Antigone in a Nutshell. Before I begin, I'd like to invite you to learn more about the location of our Shakespeare Festival. It's been called Snok for more than 1,000 years by the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. You can learn more on our website, in your house program, or near the entrance to our festival site. I'd also like to take a moment to thank the sponsor of the In a Nutshell Talks, Global BC. About 2,500 years ago in ancient Greece, a playwright in his late 20s surprised everyone by winning the top prize at the Theater Festival of Dionysia, defeating the reigning master of Athenian drama, Aeschylus. Sophocles had arrived on the professional scene. And during a career that would last nearly 50 years, he competed in 30 festivals and won 24 of them, becoming the most celebrated playwright of his day. While he wrote an estimated 120 plays, only seven have survived, one of which is Antigone. It tells the final chapter of the story of Oedipus and his family, and the backstory is important, so we'll start there. Once upon a time, the oracle at Delphi told King Laius of Thebes that he must not have any children. If he did, a son would kill him and marry his wife. But as fate would have it, Laius and his wife Jocasta did have a child. Afraid of the prophecy, Laius ordered the infant to be exposed on a mountainside until it died. A shepherd took pity on the child and rescued him, bringing him to the childless king and queen of Corinth, who named him Oedipus. As a young adult, Oedipus heard from the oracle that he would kill his father and marry his mother. Not knowing he was adopted, Oedipus fled Corinth and ended up, you guessed it, in Thebes. On the way, he became involved in what we might describe as a road rage incident, killing the chariot driver who tried to run him down. Unbeknownst to Oedipus, that driver was his father, King Laius of Thebes. At the time, Thebes was being terrorized by a murderous monster called the Sphinx, and it was decreed that whoever defeated the creature would become king and marry Queen Jocasta. The mysterious, handsome young stranger, Oedipus, does exactly that. He and Jocasta live happily together for many years, raising a family with two sons and two daughters. Then it all goes horribly wrong. Jocasta and Oedipus discover the truth. This happily married wife and husband are, in fact, mother and son. You can see that story unfold in the other play in the Douglas Campbell Theatre this season, with goblins. After blinding himself and going into exile, Oedipus leaves his two sons as successors to the throne in an unusual arrangement. They are to alternate years as king. But after the first son, Eteocles, completes his year, he refuses to hand over power to his brother, Polynices. Polynices raises an army and attacks Thebes. The brothers kill one another in battle, leaving Jocasta's brother Creon as king. Creon decrees that Eteocles deserves an honorable burial. But because Polynices marched against his own city, he is to be denied burial altogether. His body is to remain on the battlefield as prey for carrion animals. Creon's first act as king is to forbid anyone from burying Polynices on penalty of death. All of that happens before the play begins. Antigone opens with the chorus asking a simple but profound question: Who will care for us when we are gone? They recall the care the infant Polynices received at the beginning of his life and ask who will care for him now at the end. Will it be his mother, Jocasta? Will it be his sister, Ismene? Will his uncle Creon reconsider his cruel edict? or will it be up to his sister Antigone to ensure that her brother's soul finds its way to its eternal rest? Antigone is reputedly the most performed of all the surviving plays from ancient Greece. Hundreds of plays, films, and operas have retold the story, with famous adaptations in occupied France in 1944, apartheid-era South Africa in 1973, and Poland under martial law in 1984. Lesser-known adaptations have been performed in Haiti, Puerto Rico, Aruba, Argentina, Bangladesh, Peru, Iran, Syria, and Ferguson, Missouri, following the killing of Michael Brown. There were four different adaptations of the play performed in New York in just the first few months of this year. New York Times theater critic Helen Shaw said of Antigone, "Her omnipresence is like a rush of white blood cells. There's an infection somewhere in the body politic." Antigone clearly has something to tell us. And this new adaptation gives the timeless, urgent questions at the heart of the play an immediacy we can readily connect to. Playwright Kate Besworth and director Ming Hudson have worked with Bard on the Beach for years, and they conceived this adaptation of the play with the Douglas Campbell Theatre in mind. Perhaps more remarkable than Antigone's ubiquity today are the circumstances of her creation. When Sophocles first wrote the play, stories about Oedipus and his two sons were familiar, but it was Sophocles who turned the spotlight onto the sister Antigone, giving her not only agency but centrality in the story's essential questions. Remember, too, that the audience at those original performances consisted primarily of the male citizens of Athens, who considered attending the theater both a civic responsibility and a religious duty. Sophocles presented them with a young woman who challenged them to think deeply about authority, justice, the law, and the proper role of the state. In ancient Athens, people with power went to the theater to have their assumptions challenged and their thinking expanded. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that were the norm today? Antigone is playing in the Douglas Campbell Theater until September 18th. We hope you'll come back to see all the plays in our 2026 season. You can find the details at bardonthebeach.org. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful time at Bard on the Beach.